Encourage you to find your outline and your bulletin as we think about celebrating mothers. I've called this, we celebrate God's gift to mothers. And they are one of God's gifts to us. All of us, our background is different. Sometimes our family background is different, but God has brought us here. And the one person that He used to bring us here is our mother. I know, I said this, y'all, everybody has a mother. Some of them have two mothers. Sometimes you have a birth mother and an adopted mother, or sometimes other things. But I just want to celebrate God's gifts to mothers. I believe He gave them to us. So I think He started with a lady named Eve. I think He said He was going to multiply this fruit and have kids from the very beginning. So Eve was the first mother that God designed. So let's think about that. If you found your outline, I'd like you to pull that out and make some notes as we go. How many of you remember everything you hear? How many of you remember half of what you hear? But if you write it down, does it help you remember? I was at a conference this week, and I wrote some things down because I knew I wouldn't remember everything the preacher preached to me. You mean I got preached to too. It was good. Rick Durst from the seminary was the main speaker for our conference pastors retreat this weekend, or last week. Now this is a new week, but I'm saying this: it's good to make some notes, just make some comments, and just thoughts pop in your mind. I think you found that true. Sometimes you wake up and something hits you, and you think, "Oh, that's good." But if you don't go write it down, then later you say, "What was that? I just got. So I encourage you to just make some notes along the way. Even if you don't keep them, even if you throw them away afterwards, it still helps put it in our brain. So let's celebrate God's gifts of mothers today. First one is, celebrate the mother God gave me. Celebrate the mother God gave me. I hope that each of you had a mother that you were glad to have. Sometimes that is not always true. But most of the time it is. But what I'm suggesting is I want to celebrate the mother God gave me because you didn't get to choose your mother. Let me read the scripture passage and remind you of this. It's from Psalm 139, which is familiar to us. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." So I know God creating us. But notice what He said. You formed my inward parts and you what? You wove me in my mother's womb. God chose to bring you into the world through your mother. And we need to say thank you, Lord, that that's the way you chose to do it. Notice He said about us and our being created that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Do you think of that? Are you really aware of that? Do you stop and think, I'm a special person. God made me special. God put me together. Because how many are like you? Just you. Just you. God put you together and created you in your mother's womb, in your mother's body. And that's who He wanted you to be. And He chose to let you be created inside the mother He chose to give you. So whoever you are today, the person you are, the fact you're alive is because God chose to give you that mother that you have. I'm grateful that my mother let me live. And you need to be grateful. I know. Sometimes you think about it later, you wonder about it. But what I'm saying is this. In our world today, there have been over 50,000 babies that didn't get to live. Thank you, God, that my mother let me live. That your mother let you live long enough to be who you are. So I'm going to celebrate the mother God gave me and to say, God, I thank you for her and who she is and to bless her. Regardless of the background, regardless of what your relationship is, to say, God, I thank you for my mother. I thank you for using her to bring me into this world to give me life. Not only that, did she give me life. If I become a child of God, not only did she give me life initially, but because I was born and I heard about Jesus, how long do I get to live? Forever. So I was born physically, which gave me an opportunity to come to know Jesus spiritually, that I can live eternally. Thank God for my mother. Celebrate the mother God gave me. That's what I'm suggesting today for all of us. The second area I want to mention is celebrate mother's godly influence. Scripture says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you also." Paul writes to Timothy about his background. Anybody ever hear of Timothy? There's a couple of books that Paul wrote to a man named Timothy. But who's behind Timothy? His mother and his grandmother. Their influence continues to influence his life. Think about it. Did Billy Graham have a mother? Did her influence last? Is it still going on? We talk about how great Billy Graham is or some of the others, but behind his life is a mother who influenced him and gave him. So what I'm suggesting is I celebrate those godly influences that mothers have on our lives. I'm mindful and grateful for them. I am grateful for my own personal mother who encouraged me and blessed me and took me. I still remember she's the one who took me to a place of worship where I met Jesus. My mother is responsible for that. And then, of course, when God called me to preach at 16, whenever I preached, guess who was my number one fan? My mother. She'd show up if it was close enough. She's the one who encouraged me in my walk and my faith in the Lord Jesus. And I'm grateful for that influence, that godly influence, that I am where I am today because of her influence. I've asked my wife to come and share a little bit about her mother and the influence she had on her. So, guys, we need to get one of these mics over here. I don't always put her on the spot, but I asked her ahead of time. She said she'd do this, so.
Yeah, 15 minutes ahead of time.
Before she starts, I want to say thank you for being around my kids.
Thank you.
She has been a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. We've been married 56 years, and she's taken care of a lot of our kids and grandkids. And I'm able to serve today in ministry because this lady stands beside me and behind me day after day after day and loves me. We got married. I was already a pastor. She knew she was going to be a pastor's wife. She didn't know what that meant. No, she didn't. But she's willing. She's done it. And I wanted her to share a little bit about her because her mom's influence on her has blessed me because I got a Christian wife out of the deal. No, so I wanted her to share a little bit about her mom's influence.
Okay, I don't know if I can talk now. that song we sang, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," all that I needed, God's hand has provided. And He provided the most wonderful mother in the world to me. I always knew that she loved me. She would have done anything in the world for me. I knew that. But her most important thing that she wanted for me and the most important thing that she did for me was make sure that I knew about God. She read to me and my brothers when we were young, read Bible stories. We knew them all. She asked us questions from the back of the book, and we were competitive enough to want to answer every one of them. And so she poured her life into that, making sure that we had the opportunity, taking us to church and everything. But when I was about 11 or something, I still hadn't made a profession of faith. So the summer that I was 12, we were going to a mission church, so we didn't have a lot of things going on except Sunday school, you know, and stuff like that, but Bible school. But she talked to the pastor of the sponsoring church and asked if there was a Christian camp I could go to. Because she knew that when my older sister, one of my sisters, had gone to a conference for youth, that it had really made a difference in her life. And she wanted to be sure that I knew the Lord, made a decision for him. So she sent me to GA camp. It wasn't a GA, but that was okay. And while I was there, Eugene's sister talked to me. And she asked me some things about believing in Jesus. And of course, I could answer yes, because I knew the Bible, knew all the right answers. And she said, well, there's no reason why you can't be a Christian. And so we went to the camp pastor, and well, I prayed with her, and then we went to the camp pastor, and he talked to me, and went back home, and I was baptized. But it was my mother's persistence, because if that hadn't worked, I think she would have kept on. And I'm just so grateful that God knew the mother I needed, and that he gave me that precious gift of her love, and most important, that the priority that she put on me coming to know the Lord, she made a big difference in my life.
And many of you do the same for your family, for your children. Let me just say, even if you don't have children, you can be an influence on kids. You can love them, you can support them, let them know you appreciate them, and it makes a difference. Because many families, I wouldn't say many, some families have children who don't have a chance to have anybody know Jesus, talk to them about Jesus, and you can be that for them. So I encourage you. So I celebrate Mother's godly influence. Another aspect, I want to celebrate Mother's prayer. Celebrate Mother's prayer. I don't know how often my mom prayed for me, but I know she prayed for me more than once. Because I wasn't always what she wanted me to be. And don't tell me you were either. But if you had a Christian mother, she prayed for you a lot. And I'm grateful for the prayers of moms. Do you think mom's prayers work? Yeah, I think they have a great deal of influence from mother's prayers, and I'm grateful for that. The scripture I've listed has to do with, of course, from the Old Testament, from Samuel, 1 Samuel, as Hannah prayed for her son. And if you remember this story, Hannah had not been able to have any babies, and in this case, her husband had another wife as well, and she needled her because she had kids and she didn't. And so here she prays, and she talks about what happened, because as she prayed, God gave her a son, if you remember in Scripture. In fact, I like that account. I didn't put it in your notes. But the Bible says that she prayed, and Eli the priest heard her. She came in with a sad countenance, with sorrow. It says when she left with a bright countenance. Right then, before anything had happened, she believed God was going to give her son. She believed that. And so God had answered her prayer. And here she is now in this passage that I've listed on your notes. It's after the baby boy named Samuel was born, she brings him to leave him at the temple. And he's going to be there for the rest of his life to serve the Lord. I've often thought about that. How in the world, how easy it'd be for a mom to take a son, a little boy, and leave him at a temple for the priest to take care of. That's tough. But she does it. But here's what she said. It's what I've listed on her note. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. With this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. So I've also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he's dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." She says to her, this is the child I prayed for. This is God's answer. And now I'm keeping my promise. I'm bringing him back to the Lord. I praise God for moms who dedicate us to the Lord. I want you to notice something about this passage I hadn't thought about in more recent times. Notice it said, she said, "I've dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives." What influence did this young man have? When you read through the Scripture in the Old Testament, Samuel became the prophet of God, who was really an outstanding leader. What began with her prayer? Her praying for God to give her a son. And then she comes and acknowledges she prayed, and she dedicates him to the Lord. And he is, his influence continues to influence us because we read about him in Scripture in the Old Testament. But the last part of that phrase is interesting. Notice it said she dedicated to the Lord. And then what does the last part say? And who worshiped? He worshiped. You think you'd say she worshiped. You see the influence already in his life? She it says she worshiped. Or he worshiped, pardon me. And so, thank you, moms, for praying. I don't know where I'd be today if my mama hadn't prayed for me. Do you ever think about that? Thank you, ladies, for your prayers. Sometimes it seems like the ladies are more prayer diligent in prayer than we are as guys. Maybe they just got a better heart for it. I don't know, but I appreciate the prayers. So I celebrate Mother's Prayer because when mothers pray, I believe God moves and God blesses. So I celebrate those prayers. So don't quit, ladies. Keep on praying. We need your prayers and the work of the Lord. Some of you know a man by the name of Harry Ironsides has lived a long time ago. His mother was named Sophia. His father died when he was a little boy, and his father's pretty young. He recounts some times that he saw with his mother after his father died. He said, I watched my mother very closely. He said, on one occasion, we had some visitors come in, and his mother scraped stuff, enough stuff out of the cupboards to prepare a meal for the visitors who had come. And she prepared graciously. He said, after the visitors left, she found a $10 bill under the plate. And in that time, that was a fortune. She said, she wept and thanked the Lord for that gift. He said, sometimes later, the cupboard was again empty. And she got her two sons together for breakfast. But there's nothing on their plates. So she prayed. She said, we're going to give thanks, boys. And as she prayed, she used Isaiah 33:16, which she said, Father, you have promised in your word, and here's what the word promised, your bread shall be given to you and your water will be sure. She said, we have the water, and we thank you for it, Lord. And now we trust you for the bread, or whatever will take its place. Just as she finished praying, there's a knock on the door. And there's a man standing at the door. So they invited him in. And he said to her, Sophia, you made a dress for my wife some time ago, and we haven't had any money to pay you for doing that. I feel very bad about it. But we have been harvesting our potatoes. And I'd like to give you a bushel or two of potatoes in payment for doing that dress. She said, I'll be glad. In a few minutes, the potatoes were sizzling on the frying pan, and the boys had answered prayer for breakfast. Thank you, God, for answered prayer. And ladies who pray. The next part, celebrate mother's protection. Celebrate mother's protection. I wonder how many times the mother's got us out of stuff. Protected us. The passage I've listed has to do with Moses, obviously, if you're familiar with the Old Testament. But notice it says, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. You're familiar with Moses being born? She kept him 3 months. I don't know how she kept a baby 3 months, quiet, a little one, but she did. But she was going to protect this little boy. You're familiar with what was going on, that the Pharaoh decreed that all the baby boys would be killed of the Jewish families. And so she hid him. But what does she do? She gets a basket, covers it over with tar and pitch, puts him in it, puts him on the water. And you're well aware of the story that the Bible says that the daughter of the king comes down and finds this little baby in a basket and takes him home. And then he gives him back to his mother to take care of him, and then she gets paid for taking care of her own kid. Now, not many moms that happens to. But she was protecting this boy. She was taking care of him. She wanted him to be cared for. I think there's a lot of extent that moms go to take care of their families, to see, be sure that they're cared for. Sometimes when they don't want to be cared for. Sometimes, you know, we resist. And, oh, I don't want to do that. But the mom knows the need to be taken care of, to be protected. Because she knows some things we ought not to be involved in. Not only physically protect us, but spiritually protect us to keep us out of stuff we couldn't, you know, we ought not to be involved in. I think about my own mom, and I'm glad for her. My mom was down on smoking. Well, no. And as boys do, my uncle gave us some Bull Durham. Now, some of you may not know what Bull Durham is. It's tobacco in a cloth bag that you roll up. We hid it under the corner of the corn crib. But if our mother found out, I knew, whoop. And so I never got to smoke again. You know, I'm glad for that. She protected me from a habit that could have hindered me in my lifetime because she said, no, don't do that. Thank you, Mom, for the way you protect your families and your children. Let me just say to you as children, I hope you accept that protection. Don't fuss about it. Just say, okay, thank you for loving me enough to care about me and to do that. In this case, she hit her son. I think, as I read this story, it didn't say it in Scripture. I think she deliberately put that basket where she knew this lady, this princess, was going to come. I don't think it was accidental. I think she was using her brain. She said, I'm going to take care of this boy. Here's how I'm going to do it. And it worked. And, of course, he got to live and become the leader of Israel and leading the Israelites out and all the other stuff because of this mother who protected him. And so we say, God, thank you for mother's protection. In a book called Marriage Partnership, Susan Shelley writes about what took place in her own life. She said, in the fifth month of my pregnancy, our doctor recommended a level two ultrasound. She said, as I was on the examining table, he's running the instrument over her body, measuring the various parts of the body and seeing what was going on in the baby. He said, we watched. Her husband finally said, is everything okay? Moments later, Dr. Silver announced his observations in a rather matter-of-fact voice. He said, we've got some problems. The fetus has a malformed heart. The aorta is attached incorrectly. There are missing portions of the cerebellum. There's a club foot, a cleft palate, and perhaps a cleft lip. Maybe even spina bifida. He said, this is a case in which is incompatible with life. She said, neither I nor her husband could say anything for a few minutes, so the doctor continued. It's likely that the fetus will spontaneously miscarry. If the child is born, he will not survive long outside the womb. You need to decide if you want to try and carry this pregnancy to term. That's what the doctor said. We both knew what he was asking, she wrote. My soul was shaken by the news, but I knew clearly what I had to do. God is a giver and the taker of life. If the only opportunity I have to know this child is in my womb, I don't want to cut that time short. If the only world he is to know is in the womb, I want that world to be as safe as I can make it. Moms who protect their families and love their kids. Thank you for those who do that. On the other side of your notes, celebrate mothers who are imperfect. Now, why did I put that in here? Do you ever read Proverbs 31 and the list of all the woman is like? She sows stuff. She feeds her family. She buys a field. She does all these things. You remember if you read that list. Do you ever feel like that you're sort of inadequate? When you read, when I read through these stories on Mother's Day and little poems, it sounds like mother's almost a perfect mother. She does this and this and this and this and this. Do you ever feel like, I don't measure up. I don't think I can measure up. So let me say to you, celebrate being an imperfect mother. Okay? Because there's no other kind. There isn't. But sometimes moms feel, especially on Mother's Day when we go all the list, you know, how you're supposed to be perfect. God used imperfect people. Aren't you glad that God didn't say you got to be perfect? I'll use you as a mom in imperfection. The account I've listed on your notes has to do with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Would you say she's pretty perfect? I mean, you know, the list of all the things she did. Let me read this account. You're familiar with it. Then think about it. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Does that sound like mom? Now, let me ask you. What I think of is this. What mother would go a whole day and not know where their kid is? It says they go a day's journey. She just assumes he's with Aunt Missy. Is that an imperfect mother or not? You'd have to say that she'd be imperfect. I thought about this. How would you like to be in her looking for your child for 3 days? Hunting for him. But then notice her not understanding what was going on. She said, we've been looking for you. Do you moms do that still, don't you? Where you been? I've been looking all over for you. Why do you do that? Because you care. But what I'm reminding us is this, ladies. Whether you're a mother or have a mother's heart or whatever, it's all right to be imperfect. It's all right to not do everything just like everybody else does. Because God loves you like you are. I read to you in the beginning, God created you uniquely you in the womb. And I'm grateful for every mom who functions as a personality that God put you in. God made you to be. So celebrate those imperfections. Celebrate the fact that sometimes you mess up. Celebrate the fact that sometimes you even get mad. No, I'm going to do that. Celebrate the fact that some days you'd rather stay in bed than get up and take care of those kids. And don't tell me you don't. You do. What I want to remind you is today, and as we celebrate Mother's Day, it's all right. You're wonderful because you're who God made you to be. And you're functioning as God made you to function, and that's all right. It's all right to be an imperfect mom or an imperfect child of God as far as that goes. So just celebrate that today, will you? The last thing on your notes says, celebrate Mother by bringing her joy. Celebrate Mother by bringing her joy. The passage in Proverbs says, let your father and your mother be glad and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Bring our mother joy. Bring our mother delight. I will suggest 3 ways. You can add others as you think about it. One is love and appreciate her. Love and appreciate her. Be grateful for who she is. That means not only to love and appreciate her, but tell her that you love her and you appreciate her. I think about it. I didn't tell my mom, Paul, as much as I should have. In fact, you know, when you're younger, you don't appreciate your mom and dad like you do later. Especially when you get old and have your own kids, you recognize, my mom was a good mom. I appreciate her. I didn't get to tell that much. I thought a lot about it since then. My dad got killed when he was 33, and she had 6 kids. I was the oldest. The youngest was a year old. I was 13. My mom took care of all 6 of her kids the rest of her life. And she died early with cancer. But I've thought about it since then. I appreciate the way my mom loved and took care of us six kids. We all had everything we needed. And then some extra. And she took us to worship. I'm grateful today for those mothers. And I wish I could go back and tell her now how much I appreciate what she did. So if your mother's still alive, tell her you appreciate her. Some of your mothers are not alive anymore in this world. They may be in heaven. But is it all right to say to God, I thank you for my mom anyway? You say, I appreciate who she is and what she's done for me. I do. I found myself recently telling the Lord about Karen and my mom. I thank God for those moms. They're both in heaven, but I appreciate them. So I bring joy. I don't know if moms can see us in heaven. I guess not. But I want to say to my mom, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for loving me enough to give me life and all the other things. I recognize that different moms are different. That's okay. But I want to bring joy to her. Just tell her that I love her. Appreciate her. Isn't it amazing? You don't have to tell a mom that you appreciate her. You don't have to give her a Rolls Royce or a whatever. Isn't sometimes moms discover that when their children just make something special and give it to mom, that it's that special? Appreciates? So it don't have to be that huge thing. You just to love and appreciate her. Second area is be a follower of Jesus. Celebrate mother by bringing her joy by being a follower of Jesus. Mothers who know Jesus in particular, you bring them great joy by giving your heart to Christ, and she knows you're going to go to heaven when you die. Isn't that wonderful, moms? No, your kids. In our case, grandkids and hopefully great-grandkids. To know that they've given their heart to Jesus is the greatest blessing a mom can ever have from you. You bring the greatest joy. I know it brought joy to my mother when I became a believer in Jesus. It meant a great deal. So you can be a joy, you can bring a joy to your mom, even if she isn't living. For you to give your heart to Christ and to follow Jesus is a great honor to her, because you have made more of your life than it would have been made otherwise. You have invested your life in eternity, and that's an honor to mom that you've done that. My prayer is that you give your heart to Christ. Many of you have and know that. The last thing on that note is to simply live a godly life. To see that our lives are such that the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we deal with people, the way we minister and deal with life, a godly life brings joy to a mother. A quality life. Isn't it one of the joys a mom has to know their kids are okay? That they're safe, they're healthy, they're doing all right, they're being cared for, they're being ministered to. Of course, you want to know Jesus. But I rejoice, and I'm sure my wife rejoices, because our kids know Jesus. That's the greatest gift of all, is walking with Jesus and trying to live godly in a way that brings honor to the Lord. And you're well aware, as I am, that when I bring honor to the Lord, I also have a better quality of life anyway. I benefit from it as well as others. So I'm suggesting today, I want to celebrate God's gift to mothers. You can add a lot of other things probably in your own life. But thank you, God. Celebrate those mothers that God's given us and those in our own life. And thank God for your mother, whether she's here or not, which in earthly heaven. I want to celebrate mothers. Let's bow together. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, I pray that today will be the day when you choose to say, Jesus, I've known about you and I've heard about you, and I'm going to give my heart and soul to you today. I'm asking you to save my soul. And you'll bring the great gift, because that means you're investing your life in an eternal position with the Lord God. And that's honor to mom. You're a child of God and you know that. And there are areas of your life that are being lived that are godly. Praise the Lord for those. But if there's some things in your life that are ungodly, habits or lifestyles or attitudes or whatever it may be, to say, God, take them out of my life so that I can live a godly life. And ask God to teach us to appreciate the one God gave to us as our mother. Lord Jesus, you know every heart. you see inside us. You know what's happening. You know what we're thinking. And you love us enough to call us to yourself. I pray that today, having any soul without Jesus will make that step of faith today. Then, Lord, I pray for the rest of us as we seek to be godly people, to honor you and honor our mothers by yielding our life to Christ and by living a godly life ourselves. Search us, Lord. Help us to renew our commitment to give praise to you for the way we live. Now, your Spirit is here. We pray you to bring attention to our hearts, what you want us to do in response to what we've heard from you. Because, Lord, we believe you speak to us. So give us the courage to say yes and to renew our commitment to you. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.